From My Little Hut in the Forest by Yurit Rosen. From My Little Hut in the Forest, written and illustrated by Yurit Rosen. I dedicate this book to my beloved family, Aviram, Osher, and Shalev, who co-created this meaningful life with me. Introduction by Elizabeth Kamundia. Your enthusiasm and love for the forest, for nature, shines through from the first page. It's a beautiful love story, with nature, family, volunteers, and yourself. I love your attitude, your positive spirit. It's not that you claim that things are always easy. It's the way that you meet challenges. You make parenting sound like the best adventure one could ever take. You express so clearly what it means to live one's life in accordance with one's values, and to try to do that not just when it's convenient, but all the time as a way of life. Elizabeth Kamundia is a disability rights scholar and lawyer. From My Little Hut in the Forest. From My Little Hut in the Forest is a collection of stories about my life in Sadna Forest. My name is Yurit. I grew up in a small city in the center of Israel. My parents raised me in an urban lifestyle, very far from nature. But whenever the first autumn rain showers came, I was joyously dancing in the rain. In May 2002, my husband, our daughter, and I settled in Auroville, an international township in southern India. We were following our hearts, trying to explore different ways of living. On December 19, 2003, we slept for the first night on the land that would become Sadna Forest. I'll never forget that night. I was so excited I couldn't fall asleep. We were living in a scrap bullock cart with a roof made from coconut leaves. It was pure magic. Sadhana is a word in Sanskrit, an ancient Indian language, that means a discipline undertaken in the pursuit of a goal or a spiritual practice. We named the forest Sadhana Forest to indicate that living in and creating the forest is our form of spiritual practice. This book contains short stories from our first 12 years in Sadhana Forest. I want very much to share these stories with you because many people know a lot about Sadhana Forest, but not everyone knows that there is a little family behind it all, simply living their lives. Thank you. Squatting on the toilet early morning. Squatting on the toilet early morning, this is one of my favorite moments of the day. Most of the universe is still and silent. Birds are talking to each other. Bright and shining leaves are moving gently, bringing drops of morning dew. The lizards are chasing bugs in the grass, and I can feel the freshness of the air. My heart fills with peace and beauty. Looking to my left, the sun is peeping through the trees. Looking in front of me, there's a beautiful picture of a thick forest. Magical moment. I close my eyes and I open them, and then I close my eyes and open them again, and again, and again. I can't believe the sight in front of my eyes. This is a real piece of forest. And I was always afraid that the trees would never grow. Doors. Shalev was a small girl, maybe 3 years old, when we came back home after spending a few days resting at Park Guest House in Pondicherry. She had a request.
Ima.
Mama in Hebrew.
Can you make us a door to our hut?
Interesting. Why do you want a door?
I want to open the door and shut the door when I come home. I want to hear the sound of the door. Boom! I want the mosquitoes to stay out. I want a door. Please, please, Ima, make me a door.
I paused. I needed to think about it. What should I answer this little one who simply wants a door to open and close? A door. A door. I think I never gave her an answer. I didn't have a good one at that time. I thought she would slowly figure it out by herself. In the end, struggling, lifting up and down the mosquito net of our bed, running like a rabbit in and out from the hut 20 times a day, turned out to be enough for her. She gave up on the idea of opening and closing a door and never mentioned it again. Now when I think about it, I realize that one of the main features of our structures in Sadhana Forest is having no doors. We simply opened our house and never shut the door behind us. Cyclone Tane. We received some warnings. A cyclone was on its way. So many times we'd gotten these warnings and nothing had happened. Aviram had to leave that evening. There was a conference in Kerala that he was invited to many months before. I told him not to worry, that it would be fine and he could go on with his plans. But still, preparations needed to be done, just in case it would come. Aviram gave us some last-minute instructions to follow, and we felt safe. We decided that we would all move into the training dorm. The training dorm is our biggest hut after the main hut. It got its name because when groups of students are coming to stay and learn in Sadhana Forest, they sleep on the ground floor and study up on the first floor. The hall upstairs is like a huge charming attic with a wooden floor made from something like bamboo. The lower part of the hut was 32 strong granite pillars and an earthen floor. And in between the pillars we have traditional village rope beds for volunteers to sleep on. It's a very sturdy structure. It would be the safest place in Sadhana Forest for 100 people. Actually, 104 volunteers were staying with us that day. At around midnight, Nikki came to our hut to call. She said that the wind is getting stronger. We decided it was time to go to the training dorm. I wanted to stay in our hut where I felt safe. I didn't want to wake up Shalev from her sleep, but Osha preferred to be with everybody else. So I woke Shalev up. She was a bit confused. I grabbed two sleeping bags, an umbrella, and started walking towards the training dorm. It was a struggle walking from our hut to the dorm that night. What usually takes us 2 minutes took us maybe 15 minutes. Lev in one hand, the umbrella in the other hand, and me pushing against the wind and rain. The path was completely muddy and slippery. Rain was doing a good job of soaking everything around us. Trying to stay balanced, I was dancing like a ballerina on the muddy earth. At one point, I could not walk further. I was just standing in the same place, trying to go forward, fighting against the wind and the rain. Finally, we reached the dorm. Everybody was already there, lying on the beds and on the earthen floor. The beds were all full, so we had no choice but to find a spot on the floor. We found a place next to a nice mother and her two boys, Lior and Shahar, who were staying with us at that time in Sadhana. Shalev went immediately back to sleep, with no difficulty at all. He was a three-year-old who wanted to continue her night's sleep peacefully. Osher couldn't fall asleep at all. She was really excited. She was roaming around all night, helping out whoever needed help. The wind got stronger and stronger. It didn't stop for a moment. The rain got stronger, as well as that didn't stop either. Our hut was very strong, but very open, really open. We got rained on a lot. It was like being under a shower. I was lying inside the sleeping bag with Shalev, holding it up, so the rain would slip off and we would not get wet. Suddenly, Shalev woke up and asked to pee. I told her that it was better not to go out of her sleeping bag now, because it would be completely wet after. Not to mention that to go out to the toilets, which are only 100 meter distance from our dorm, was out of the question. Too far away in the middle of a cyclone. But she insisted. She cried that she had to pee. Knowing the result of this move, feeling helpless, I took Shalev out of the sleeping bag to pee in the corner of the hut. Of course we couldn't go back to our sleeping bag. It was completely wet. We got wet as well. So wet and cold, Shalev started crying. The other mother, Yali, made a space for us on their bed and invited us to join them. Being very thankful for this invitation, we squished into the bed, two mothers with a 13-year-old boy, 10-year-old boy, and Shalev. We were not on the wet floor anymore, but we were still quite wet because of our peeing adventure. And on top of being wet, the wind made us shiver. I took off one of my shirts that was half dry and dressed Shalev with it. She was still cold and unhappy. She was crying, wanting to go home. Suddenly, from nowhere, Osher came with a dry blanket. Hey, Ima, look what I found. Do you need it? I wrapped Shalev with the blanket, and in 2 minutes, she went back to sleep. After that, I didn't move an inch for many hours. There were maybe 3 or 4 more hours of rain and wind. The wind became like a violin soloist, reaching higher and higher pitches. The conductor had left and it was playing by itself. It sounded like the symphony would never end. It got stuck on repeat. Gillette was sleeping on my lap. My back was hurting, my legs as well. I was cold and tired. All these hours I was sitting in silence, surrendering to the situation, waiting for the morning to come. While sitting with Celeb on my lap, some information started coming to my ears. We lost a hut, and another hut. My heart stopped for a moment. Wow. Damage. I didn't think in these terms until that moment. After an hour, it continued. We lost one more hut, and one more hut. What are they doing there outside? It's dangerous. Don't roam around. We'll see the damage in the morning. It will not run away. We lost 11 long-term volunteer huts. My heart was dropping. My goodness, so much damage. Up until a few days ago, there had been 20 of them. 20 private huts for the management team of Sadhana Forest. Now only 9 were left standing. One of the boys who was with us on the bed was nervous as well. He was a bit afraid of this unexpected situation he had gotten into. He was just traveling with his mother, not really looking for adventure. Suddenly, like in the fairy tales, someone came and distributed hot tea to all. They're incredible, our team. They're making tea in the middle of this storm. They were supporting each other so beautifully. 104 people. After a while, in the middle of the storm, between the drumming of the raindrops and whistling of the wind, a sweet sound came to my ears. The sound of people oming. The om sounded louder and softer, and it continued for hours. I was meditating on the relaxing sound, waiting for the storm to be over. At 8 a.m., the wind became quiet. It had stopped. Finally, after 6 hours or more, it had stopped. Everybody left the dorm except for me and Shalev. Shalev was still sleeping, not really noticing that something had happened the night before. I had to move and stretch for a bit. My body was paralyzed and aching. I really needed to pee. I tried not to wake her up. I was gently moving my arms and legs until I couldn't sit without moving anymore, and with a heavy heart, I decided to grab Shalev and move us to the main hut. It was not easy to go back to the main hut. The same path I was struggling on the night before was again a challenge. We had to hop over some trees that had fallen down and jump over little puddles. The sun was very bright. I opened my eyes wider and wider and looked around myself into the new reality of Sadhana Forest. We found a dry spot in the old part of the main hut and rested for a while. Then I was looking for Osher. Found her. She was completely okay. Shalev woke up with her usual smile. We called Aviram and talked to him quietly on the phone. I tried to stay calm, to show the girl some confidence. Everything was good, but actually everything was different. There was a lot of mess, my goodness. There was a lot of mess. It was very quiet, so quiet. One could hear the sound of a snail. Some people were sleeping, some were cooking breakfast. It was 2 days before the end of 2011. I took my accordion and started playing. I was peacefully sinking into the sound of my accordion. The sun was shining, trees were bright and clean. Fresh air entered the tip of my nose. It was a beautiful new day. I decided to make a journey to my hut and get some dry clothes for me and the girls. Shalev insisted on joining me for this trip. The walk to our hut was so much fun for Shalev. Climbing up on broken trees, falling into water holes, removing branches which blocked our path. Finally, we reached the hut. I was shocked. It wasn't a pleasant scene at all. It was quite a disaster. Wow. There was not even one thing that had stayed in its place. No. Actually, this is not true. Luckily, our books on the side shelves were completely protected. I couldn't believe it. I was so happy to find my photo albums and my favorite books safe and dry. I was looking for dry clothes. Many of them were scattered on the ground, outside of the hut, fully wet and muddy. But I managed to find a few dry pieces. I put the stuff in a big bag and returned to the main hut. The sound of the gong came to my ears. It was breakfast time. In a strange way, it didn't sound like the everyday breakfast gong. It was different this time. We knew that we all had the same secret to share. Everybody entered the main hut and sat quietly. It was a special moment. We felt like a big, big family, a family of 104 people, caring for each other in a very beautiful way. No one was selfish. People were thinking all the time how to help and support each other. We counted the dry bed sheets that we found in the dry cupboard. We only had 75 dry sheets, but we were 100 people. What should we do? 4 volunteers left for Pondicherry, the nearby city. They needed a hot shower. But then it turned out that they couldn't have hot showers since there was no electricity in Pondicherry for many days after the cyclone. Everybody wanted a dry spot to rest after the hectic night. With a lot of collaboration, many people doubled up and slept 2 in one bed with 1 sheet, adjusting happily to the situation. Suddenly, Osher asked me innocently, "It's Friday night today. Eco Film Club. Should we screen the movie?" Actually, we were in quite a good situation compared to our neighbors. We had electricity from our solar system, we had water to drink, water for cooking. We were very, very lucky. We felt super lucky. Afterwards, we found out that there were places in Noraville which didn't have water and electricity for almost a month. Later on, we realized that all the roads were completely blocked. After the morning breakfast, we scattered around the community taking rest. Most of the people were sleeping, dreaming, processing the events of the past 24 hours. In the evening, the phone rang. "Yurit, how are you doing? We were trying to get a hold of you the whole day. The phones didn't work until now. Are you okay there? Is anybody hurt?" It was our friend Kartik on the other side. Once I had met him when he was hiking in our forest. The next day he came and volunteered with us for a week. Then I found out he's a neighbor from the other side of the big road. "We're okay. Nobody's hurt. 104 people are all fine. Some damage to the huts, actually a lot of damage to the structures, and a big, big mess. Please come over. At least you and the family." "How? It's not possible. The road in the forest is completely blocked." "Okay, wait, I'm coming." He hung up the phone. Some pillars in our hut moved, and I decided to spend the night in the main hut with some other people. The girls were very excited about this decision. It was just a big slumber party. After 2 hours, around 9 p.m., my girls were already sleeping, but the others were still tossing and turning in their beds. I heard somebody calling my name. I got up to see who was there. It was dark outside. I came closer to the steps and saw Kartik, with another guy, standing at the foot of the steps. Their arms were open and they were looking at me with a smile. "That's it. The road's clear now. Come home." I had tears in my eyes. "I'll not come because the girls are already sleeping peacefully. But take the other families. They absolutely need some comfort tonight." I sent a bunch of people with Kartik, a French family with 2 daughters, an elderly couple on their second honeymoon, a delicate Parisian lady, and the 2 Israeli boys and their mother. The main hut was silent now. I closed my eyes and went to sleep. The next morning, we got a phone call from the people that stayed the night at Kartik's house. They were all super happy. They enjoyed the beautiful welcome and hospitality they had received. The phone was ringing again. It was again Kartik on the line. "Tonight is New Year's Eve. I'd like to invite you and all the volunteers to come and celebrate New Year with us and sleep over." "Are you sure? Do you have space for everybody?" "Yes, yes. You just come. All of you come. We'll have a peaceful celebration together for the new year." I passed the invitation on to the rest of the group. They're all surprised and happy. They were not expecting to be able to celebrate this particular new year. There was chaos everywhere. We were cleaning all day. It felt good to clean, prepping for a new beginning, understanding that a new phase was starting and that we were very fortunate to take part in it. I was sure we would continue cleaning for a long time. It would not be a one-day process. It would be done, slowly but surely. At noontime, Abba came home. "Aviram." We covered him with big hugs and kisses. We were all so happy. Now we could cry. We could loosen the belt. He would take charge. I could go to sleep for some time. In the evening, after we all rested, we packed a small bag and made our way towards Kaveri, Kartik's house. It was a magical evening, very peaceful and harmonious. We're all together waiting for the new year to come, wondering what this new year had to offer. Gift economy. Noam is suggesting, let's do a massage circle. We'll sit in a circle and give a massage to the person in front of us and receive a massage from the person behind us. Amitai makes his comment, this is exactly gift economy. You give to one and receive from the other. I comment as well, yes, you're right. You got the idea of gift economy. Amitai, you see, we're fast to learn. Noam, Amitai, and Ishai came with their parents to stay for a year in Sadhana Forest as volunteers. After identifying a good spot for a new dam, Aviram and I were taking a rest in our hut. Aviram was sitting on his red sitting hammock, and I was in my usual spot on the long hammock. Aviram, the idea of a dam is excellent. It's exactly what we're missing in that part of the forest. Me. Yes, I agree. But how are we going to pay for that? It's a huge project. You know that our account will be empty next week. No budget. Forget about this for a while, or forever. A moment of silence. No one spoke. The atmosphere was a bit heavy. We're looking at this nice idea slowly vanishing. Aviram, don't think like this. With your pessimistic thoughts, it'll never happen. Think positive. Silence again. Aviram, we should trust the universe. Just as Aviram said those words, a woman's voice came from behind the curtains. The woman, hello, guess who's here? We're both looking at each other trying to guess. No idea. Again the voice came. The woman, I'm here. The woman jumped from behind the curtain with a big smile on her face. The woman, ta-da, here I am. We're completely shocked and surprised. Wow, we don't believe it. What are you doing here, Teresa? How are you, dear? When did you arrive? Was it a long trip from Canada? Teresa pulled out an envelope from behind her back and put it in Aviram's hands. This is for you guys. I've collected this money for you in one night at the restaurant where I used to work. It's a very popular place. I told my customers that they were donating money to a forest in South India without asking any questions. They had no other choice. And here it is, $3,000 for you, for the forest. We were looking at each other like we're going to faint. Is this real? What a coincidence that Teresa appeared exactly in this moment of despair. It looked like part of a movie. No one will believe this. We gave a loving hug to Teresa with tears in our eyes, feeling like such lucky guys. Aviram, you couldn't have come at a better moment than just now. Me. Thank you, Teresa. Welcome back. The gong for lunch was heard. The three of us walked toward the main hut, hugging each other with huge smiles all over our faces. How can anyone believe our stories when life sounds like a legend? We were all laughing strongly, knowing that legends do exist.
All my friends are always in my heart. They are with me wherever I go. When I'm away, I always miss them. But I will always come back. That I know. The biggest thing in the world is the world.
Shalev Anandi Rosen, March 2014, at the age of 6. Who am I? I am a creature one with nature. I am a being that exists and does not. I exist in my energy, but you humans cannot see me. I blend in with the sky and fly up really high. My hair flows, my hair glows. The light of the moon, the light of the sun, brings the energy of peace to every single one. Who am I? I am the creature after man. Osher Shanti Rosen, April 2015, at the age of 14. You didn't erase their signatures. This is what Anandi, my friend, told us about the way we were raising our daughters. Osher's complaining that she doesn't have enough hours to sleep. Busy lady, my beautiful teenager. So Shalev answers,
No problem. We just need to make a phone call to the moon and ask him to make the night longer.
Bicycle ride. Shalev and I were going on our weekly bicycle ride. While crossing the forest, Shalev started a conversation. Shalev.
You know, Ima, when I'm older, I want to cycle every day. Do yoga, dance, and eat good food.
Ima. Wow, this is great. Are you happy now, Shalev? Shalev shouted,
Yes! And I love everybody. Even the thieves and the ones that do bad things.
Ima, you know, Shalev, if you never stop doing whatever it is that makes you happy today, you'll always stay happy. Remember that. It's very simple. I was smiling to myself thinking about my daughter. We continued our ride through Moratandi village, the village close to the main road. The kids were calling towards us. Today function, Sadhana Forest? We answer, Yes, please come. They were talking about the open stage we have every Wednesday after dinner. I thought it would be nice to have our friends from the village with us tonight. Ima. Shalev, where are we going now? Shalev.
Tukut Road will make a round. Mama, can we go to the Pink Temple?
Ima. Why not? We crossed the blue toll booth and rode on the big road. We cycled carefully, concentrating on the traffic. Each one was in her own world. The people were looking at us, giving smiles or expressions of surprise at this picture of the small barefoot Shalev on the bicycle. On the way, Shalev was greeting everyone.
Wanna come!
Hello in Tamil, the local language. Some were answering, some were smiling. Two ladies were giggling and pointing with their fingers towards Shalev. At the Pink Temple, the priest welcomed us, giving us some flowers and blessing us with a small puja, ceremony. He put two colors of powder on our faces between our eyes. One was white and one was red. Embracing the blessing, putting our hands on our hearts, we said, Vanakkam. And we went to grab our bicycles. Soon it'll be dark. We need to be back home on time for dinner. Again, hopping on the cycles, the mother with the barefoot child, across the village before home, Chinnapatnur. The kids were shouting at us, Hi, Yurit! Vanakkam! Hello, Yurit! It always makes me happy to hear the children call my name. I feel they're my friends. One more sandy patch, and, bursting through the gate, parking the cycles, taking a deep breath, we were home at Sadhana Forest. Open stage. Max was playing a nice song at open stage evening. It was a rainy day. Everybody was singing along. A big cockroach landed in front of Max. Max was really surprised. He smiled at the cockroach and continued singing. We all laughed a gentle laugh, together with the rain. Thank you. sharing. While washing our lunch plates at the washing station, Shira, a beautiful girl, was sharing her story with me. All my life I had this allergy. My nose was always dripping. And guess what? For the first time since I can remember, it's not. Can you believe it? I don't know what's changed, but no dripping anymore. Since I entered the gate of Sadhana Forest, it's stopped. She continued. You know, I don't know if this story is related. 1 month back, I twisted my foot. I was in Rishikesh. I had enormous pain. Even now I have this pain. But what you don't know is that I'm a dancer. Nobody here knows. Nobody can recognize it because I can't show it. I can't dance now. We reflected a moment and then I offered my observation. I think that your nose is not dripping anymore because of your foot. You can be yourself now. No shows for the moment. The mask is gone, and with this, the stress of being on stage all the time. No stress, no dripping nose. But I want my foot back, and I want to dance again. But I don't want my dripping nose. I believe you'll find a new way of dancing. A dance that comes from within. A dance that will help you be your true self. The beautiful Shira without the dripping nose. She told me, don't push. She told me, don't push. Don't push. It's not there yet. But I was pushing strongly, and bloop! In one push, it was out. It was a girl. A baby girl. We already knew what her name would be. Shalev Anandi. The hut was full of jasmine and roses that Nadav had brought earlier in the day. I knew already in the morning that the baby would come that day. 7 years ago, it started exactly the same way with Osher, even the same timing of delivery, 2 weeks earlier than the expected date. I was looking at Shalev. I was looking at Aviram. I was looking around me. There were so many more people in the hut. I was crying. Osher came and gave me a hug. After a minute, all the volunteers came. They were standing behind the curtain and around the hut singing to us. Stepping out of Sadhana Forest. It's always a challenge to step out of Sadhana Forest. We know that we're stepping out of our comfort zone and challenging our values. The first challenge is garbage. After being used to separating our waste, it's very difficult to look at others mixing all their garbage together. Once I had decided to collect all the garbage during a long trip to the Himalayas, all the plastic bottles, all the plastic bags, I wanted to collect whatever had been used on the way, even the newspapers of the driver. I made everybody crazy. I didn't let anybody throw anything out of the van. The car looked like a recycling center. The garbage was all over us till we almost didn't have space to sit. After collecting lots of material, I started to create these plastic creatures out of our garbage and hung them in the car. Still today, we have some of them hung in our hut. They're looking at us smiling, reminding us of the Himalayan journey. The second challenge is toilets. In India, we learned a completely different way of handling ourselves in the toilet. First of all, we don't have a seat, we have a hole. Actually, in Sadhana Forest, we have two holes, one for pee and one for poo. This design is called a dry compost toilet. We call it dry because instead of flushing our waste away with the water, We mix it with sawdust so that it will decompose into fertile food for our trees. This method enables us to use all our human waste as fertile food for our trees. The second component in our toilets, which we copied from the Indian culture, is not using toilet paper. Instead of using paper, we wash our bums with water. This water and the urine from the toilets are treated naturally in a reed bed and used for irrigation. Of course, this matches well with growing a forest. My girls were more or less born into this habit of squatting on the toilet and using water instead of toilet paper. Whenever we used to visit some other countries with different toilets, it was always an issue. First of all, we'd always find them squatting with their feet on the toilet seat itself. Now, it is not simple at all to pee in this position. So often, they used to miss and wet the seat and the floor. Secondly, what are you supposed to do with the toilet paper? Once, when Shalev was around 2 years old, she held the toilet paper and took it for a tour around my mother's house. If you wanted to find Shalev, you could follow the toilet paper to its end. Today, these happy days with the toilet are finished. The children are bigger now, and they know how to adapt themselves to various cultures around the world. But they're always happy to be back home to their familiar compost toilet. And so are we. Shanti. Today an Indian girl came back to Sadhana Forest, a very sweet girl. Do you remember me? I was asking myself for a moment to remember. She was giving a few more details and my memory came back to me. Yes, yes, of course, how are you? Good, and you? Yeah, good. Can I talk to you for 10 minutes? Sure, let's go to my hut. While walking to my hut, I had already figured out what story I was going to hear. Please come, have a seat. Yes, I'm here to listen. Please tell me. I've run away from my home. I can't believe myself that I've done it. But here I am. I had a big fight with my parents, and I couldn't stand it anymore. My father wanted me to stay in my room and not to get out. I decided that I'm fighting for my freedom today. He was really upset. Is it connected to your boyfriend? Is he in New Zealand now? Yes, he is. Yes, it is. He told something to his mother and the information went the wrong way. It got to my father's ears and it sparked this fight. You know, the same thing happened before with my ex-boyfriend. He was Muslim and my father didn't approve of the relationship. But now we're even from the same caste and I checked 7 generations back to see if there's any relation between the families and if any problems can occur. And there's nothing. But still, the society is the one to decide about our life. My parents cannot detach from the society. Why? They're good people. But why do they behave like this? You know, there's nothing and nobody to blame. Not them, not you. This is what they know. They're doing the best for you. They've sent you to England to get a good education, but didn't think about its cultural influence on your personality. They have to understand that you are their creation. They cannot blame you for who you are. The way they've raised you, the way they've talked to you or shouted at you, places they've sent you to, this is you. You cannot take responsibility for their behavior. It belongs to them. Shanti. There's always this thing with the photo. When I was 10 years old, I found a photo of my parents and I had torn it completely. I made maybe 100 little pieces out of this photo. I don't really know why. Maybe because my sister was born at that time and I was upset? Of course! And you turned your anger toward your parents and not your sister. Which was great because she was only an innocent baby. It's very understandable that you're upset with your parents, who were completely yours until your sister was born, and then you suddenly had to share them with her. You were missing them and upset with them, and this was your way to say it. Yeah, but they never understood it that way. They became obsessed with this torn picture. Yesterday, my father took every card that I have given him in the last 10 years and did the same. He broke them into small pieces and threw it in my room. I was shocked. Who's the child? I decided I can't continue. I'm getting free. I have no friends, no money. I took only the necessary things to survive, and I came here. This is the only place I could think of where I'd be received with no judgment. You made the right decision. I want to stay here if it's possible until I find a job, and I'll pay you back for my food. What are you talking about? First, relax. Don't think about anything. Are you hungry? Do you need more clothes? I took the minimum. I didn't want to take anything bought with my father's money. Come. I'll get you some of Osher's clothes. Let's find a place for you to sleep. We'll take it day by day. Don't think about tomorrow. I can't believe that my life is like a Bollywood movie. I don't believe it either. And now I'm part of your movie, too. Later that evening, I told Osher about Shanti, the girl from Bangalore who'd been here with her boyfriend Vishnu just a month ago. She's here. She ran away from home. Osher. What? Really? Is she okay? Did you give her rescue remedy? Rescue remedy is a blend of 5 Bach flower remedies, especially beneficial for when you find yourself in traumatic and stressful situations. No, you're right. I should go now and give her some. I took some rescue remedy and I was looking for Shanti. I found her talking on the phone. Who is that? I'm talking to my father. Are you serious? I whispered to her. She whispers back, it's okay. I want to give you some drops. Open your mouth. It'll relax you and take out all the shock from your body and your mind. She opened her mouth like a little girl. I put the drops in, said goodnight, and went to sleep. We met the next day at lunchtime. I sat next to her on the bench and asked her how she was doing. My father's on his way to Sadhana Forest. What? Yeah, we had a really good conversation, especially after you gave me these drops. What are these drops? It was like magic. I was relaxed, and the whole conversation took a great direction. He apologized for everything and was very soft and kind towards me. I called today and he told me that he's on his way to Sadhana. I asked him why and he said that he was worried that I had no money, so he decided to come and give me some money. At lunchtime, I saw an elder Indian man sitting next to Shanti, looking at her with warm eyes. It was her father. Shanti seemed relieved and happy. After a few hours, Shanti came to see me. She had a smile and looked very pleased. I already understood that she was going back home. The runaway episode had come to its end. He promised to go to therapy, and we'll take it easy, step by step. I will never in my life, as long as I live, forget this place. You were there for me in the most difficult moment of my life. I was not alone. Sadhana Forest is always a second home for you. We hugged each other, feeling very safe. Shanti entered the car, and as the car drove slowly and disappeared into the forest, 24 dramatic hours have ended. Silent meal. Today we had a silent meal. No talking during the meal. It was Shalev's request. I found it wonderful, but I've learned that it's a challenge for many of the volunteers. Some people were really reluctant. Some people liked it. I wonder what it brings up. Maybe some childhood memories of scary parents who want their children to eat quietly, not saying a word around the table. For me, it was a very powerful moment to be silent as a group while eating. Eating becomes more present in more aspects. It leads to many places which were unknown before. The ones who really enjoyed this silent moment were Mushka and Shalev. Mushka was a 2-year-old volunteer who stayed with her mother in Sadhana Forest. She'd come back after 2 years. She was the second baby after Shalev to be born in Sadhana Forest. This silence was her stage.
Are we ready for the moment of silence?
There was nobody to interrupt her or to bother her. She had her solo on the stage. Shalev joined her happily, and together they were playing without words for almost an hour. Only body movements and faces full of expressions. From time to time, Mushka was calling to her mama,
Mama, Mama,
to make sure she was still paying attention to her. They were dancing, jumping, and running around and into other people's arms. Everybody's eyes were on them. People enjoyed the lively flow in the silence. I hope that this silence helped us to hear more. Moments in the Forest. Shalev and I were walking around the compound. It was early evening and the sounds of the night had started to be heard. We were sitting behind the main hut on a log, looking up at the sky. The color was purple. We gazed silently around us, becoming one with nature. It was a peaceful moment when nature was penetrating our hearts. Our eyes landed on a tree. It was a neem tree, the auspicious healing tree of India, and there, in front of our eyes, there was not one, not two, not three, but four. Four beautiful elms sitting next to each other on a branch. It was a family, mother, father, and two kids. Shalev and I looked at each other with big open eyes without a word, not believing our good fortune. We sat with them in silence until it got dark. I was sitting with a friend on the pool steps talking blah blah, while two-year-old Shalev was playing around us. Suddenly, we heard Shalev in a deep voice singing. Following the voice, we found Shalev sitting in the small, empty pool with closed eyes, oming with a smile. Today we had a visit. Many children and parents from Oroville came to spend some hours in Sadhana Forest. At the end of their visit, one of the boys told his mother, "This was the happiest day of my life." We felt wow and very happy. When Shalev and I went swimming in the pool, we used to watch the birds. We'd notice one special one, a drongo, a beautiful blackbird that was always sitting on the same branch of the dead tree opposite the pool. Every day while playing in the water, we would stop for a moment and look for our drongo. It became our friend. It didn't disappoint us ever. It was there every day looking at us from its high spot on the tree, greeting each one of us in silence. One of the places Osher loved the most in Sadhana was the mud pool. When we used to come back home on our moped, she always asked to stop at the mud pool at the entrance. She took off her clothes and ran into the water without stopping or hesitating for a minute. She liked so much to play and swim in the water, but what she liked the most was to cover herself all over with mud. She used to put the mud on every part of her body, including inside her mouth, and then come out of the water, making a monster face. With this monster look, all covered with mud, she'd walk into the community and roam around the whole day. Only her big brown eyes were peeping out from the mud mask with lots of jolliness. Swami's phone call. One week ago, when I was already in my bed, when the girls were falling asleep and Aviram was giving a talk in the main hut about Sadhana Forest values, my shiny yellow phone rang. I answered. On the other end was Swami. Swami was our first watchman. He came with us to the land when the land was completely empty. His real name is Kupusami, but everyone calls him Swami.
Yorit! Good evening.
Swami, is it you?
Yes, Swami. Night watchman not coming. Balu calling, Aviram answer, no.
1 minute, I didn't get it. Then Swami, trying to speak more slowly.
Night watchman coming, no. Aviram calling, answer, no. Balu calling, answer, no. Swami calling Yorit.
Oh, I've got it. You tried to call Balu or Aviram to let them know that the night watchman's not coming today?
Yes, yes.
Do you know why?
Watchman eating sadhana food. He like too much. Eating, eating, no stop eating. After stomach problem. After hospital going.
While telling me the story about the watchman overeating, Swami started laughing so strongly that I couldn't stay calm and joined his laugh. Trying not to wake up the girls. It was so funny. And Swami was repeating himself again and again.
Watchman eating too much. Like sadhana forest food too much.
And just for your knowledge, most local people will not always be so enthusiastic about brown rice and dal. I tried to finish the conversation, but couldn't stop laughing, while Swami on the other side of the phone couldn't stop laughing either. Okay, Swami. No problem. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Good night. Swami is trying to say good night, with his mouth full of laughter. The next morning, on the side entrance of the main hut, Swami's eyes met my eyes, and we couldn't hold it. We started laughing. Looking at each other made our laughter even stronger. While writing this story for you, I'm also laughing remembering Swami's descriptions of the new watchman overeating. And it's not only about having a good joke. It's about a moment of unity and joy. Olga was sharing with me a moment that happened yesterday. Olga went to the toilet and asked a friend to look after Mushka. Somehow, after 2 minutes, Mushka walked out of the main hut looking for her mother without anybody noticing she'd disappeared. Olga came back from the toilet and looked for Mushka, but no Mushka. Olga was a bit uncomfortable. She called for Mushka again and again, looking for her everywhere around the main hut. No Mushka. Trying to follow Mushka's steps, a bit anxious, Olga roamed around Sadhana. She found herself walking to the hut next to the toilet. At the entrance of the hut, in front of the curtains, she found 2 little pink shoes with flowers, standing next to each other nicely. Lily's shoes, Mushka's 4-year-old friend's shoes that Mushka was always very fond of. And inside the hut, behind the curtains, Olga found Mushka standing and crying.
Mama, Mama!
She was turning around in all directions looking for her mama. This was the hut where Mushka was born. It was her first exploration by herself of Sadhana Forest. The 2-year-old Mushka brought her mother to the spot where they had met for the first time in their lives. More beautiful moments. Osher loved having her bath in a bucket. I used to fill the bucket with water from the hand pump and ask somebody to carry it out of the kitchen, sometimes with Osher in the bucket. After finding a good spot for a bath, there between the plants, there was another unique plant growing, playing in the water. It was always a joy to watch this moment. When I used to walk with Shalev to the mud pool for such a small child, it was always a long journey. What would usually take adults 5 minutes took Shalev and I half an hour at least. We'd stop next to every tree and stone, sit with them, talk to the plants and to the ants. Then, just before reaching the mud pool, there was a nice sandy area where she liked to sit again and play with the sand. Our trip was supposed to end with swimming in the mud pool, but it didn't always happen. The journey was a big part of the mud pool experience. Shalev taught me to give significance to every step I take, not to ignore the way itself, thinking only about swimming at the end of our journey. She taught me to look to the sides, to open my eyes. Perhaps something somewhere was happening just under our nose that had a message for us. How long have you been here? One of the things I like to do is pretend that I'm a new volunteer. When I meet a new person and start a conversation, usually it's near the dishwashing station. Hi, how are you? What's your name? Where are you coming from? Nice. Do you like India? What do you do back home? The new volunteer is happily answering all these questions. And then the conversation is turning towards me. He wants to know more about who I am. The one who's bothering him with so many questions. So he starts asking, what's your name? Where are you from? And I answer, my name is Yurit. Okay. I'm from here. Oh, what do you mean? No, where's your native place? Where are you coming from originally? Israel. How long have you been here? Soon 11 years. What do you mean, 11 years? They make their surprise question mark face and continue. So, 11 years. Wow, that's a long time. How long has this place existed? I answer, 11 years. So, fast they're making a calculation. Wait, are you... Oh, sorry for not realizing that you're one of the founders. Are you one of the founders of this place? I smile and answer, yes, I am. It's okay. There's nothing to know. Oh, you've created a beautiful place. Thank you for hosting me in your home. Thank you. You're most welcome, I answer and smile. It's nice to feel like a fresh volunteer from time to time. It keeps me young and lets me get close to the new volunteers. Amitai performing on open stage. Yesterday, Amitai came back to Sadhana Forest after 2 weeks in Tiruvannamalai, a holy city not far away from Sadhana Forest. He missed Sadhana too much. Shalev asked him,
who did you miss the most?
He answered, the mud pool and you. I miss calling you cutie. Last night, he was eager to perform on open stage. He couldn't wait for his turn. Shalev was the first to perform. She put on her shiny dress, makeup and decorations, chose a nice piece of music for Bharatanatyam dance, and danced her own style. It was a spectacular performance. She was dancing with the rhythm, smiling to the audience, and giving us a magical moment of divine presence. When the performance was over, Shalev ran to my arms in a very shy way and hid inside my clothes, not to be seen. After Shalev, finally it was Amitai's turn. He took two guitars and looked at the audience with no fear at all. He smiled his mischievous smile, bowed to the audience, and said, thank you, thank you. He took a pillow, sat on it with a great pose, looked at the two guitars, trying to decide which one to start with. He took one, wanted to tune it, but then everybody was shouting at him, no, no, already tuned! Convinced by the public, he took the blue one and started to play random sounds with so much passion. We were all listening carefully, enjoying the flow of sounds and the presence of Amitai on the stage. He was looking like a big star. He gave the show, and we were all really enjoying the music and the play of a young spirit showing us that life is being on stage at every moment, and we are all stars. Sometimes in the middle of the night, or at the beginning of the morning when I wake up, I need to know what time it is, so I can calculate how much more time I still have to sleep, until the alarm on my phone will invite me to start my day. And today the time was 4:44. Isn't it magic? I felt it was. I decided to wake up before the phone had the usual dialogue with me, and started my day writing about this moment, followed by the sound of the birds having a peaceful discussion. Tom. Shalev loved Tom. He was her first best friend. Shalev was 2 years old and Tom was 20 years old. One day, Tom asked to talk to me privately. He was very shy and quiet. He needed to tell me something that had happened. Yesterday, Shalev came and asked me to take her to the toilet. I was so proud of myself. Shalev trusted me enough to take her to the toilet. Feeling very happy, I followed Shalev. She was running fast. I had to rush to keep track of her. She opened the door of the toilet and disappeared. I went after her, opened the door of the compost toilet, and found Shalev hanging inside the poo barrel, barely supporting herself with her two little arms. Immediately I pulled her out, washed her, and she did her business. I felt so embarrassed and stupid. My first trip with Shalev to the toilet, and I messed it up big time. I'm afraid she'll never trust me again to take her to the toilet. I was laughing while hearing the story, imagining the picture of Shalev holding herself up with two little arms. I wish I could have had my camera in that moment. I trusted Tom completely, and told him that I was sure that Shalev continued to trust him as well. But pay attention next time in the toilet. Today I went to give the rest of the saris we distributed yesterday in the Tamil New Year to the widows of the neighboring village. On the way back, I saw Nagaraj, Ilaikia's brother. I came back home and wrote this story. The story about Ilaikia. Banu, Saraswati, Sudha, and Sangeeta came recently to visit Osher. They're now fully grown up, beautiful young women, around 20 years old. They brought the young children of Chinnapatnur, the nearby village. The children were so happy to play in the main hut, to jump on the trampoline, to swing on the saris, which are hung from the roof beams all the way to the floor, to laugh and to have lots of fun. A sari is a piece of clothing worn especially by Indian women. It consists of a long piece of thin material that is wrapped around the body. Osher was having a chat with the big girls. The girls were talking in broken English and Osher answered in broken Tamil. Overcoming the language barrier, you could see the love and the flow in the communication between these girls, how close they are to each other. As children, they used to spend endless hours playing together, making food, putting flowers in Osher's hair. Every holiday, as the day started at 6 o'clock in the morning, they entered the gate of Sadhana Forest, and at 6 o'clock in the evening, they went back home. They've spent the whole day with us, unless their mothers would call them to help find a missing cow, or for some other help that was needed. When I looked at the girls recently, I felt lots of joy and happiness. I understood the idea of human unity. But then I had a moment of grief. I was missing one. Ilaikia was one of the girls. Big black eyes, full of wisdom, always kind, always smiling, helping, playing peacefully. She was the group judge, saying what was right and what was wrong, defending the small children. She was always leading and guiding all the children in a quiet, respectful way. She was beautiful. We were not there when it happened. At the time, we were visiting our family in Israel. We came back home, and Ilaikia was no more. No more beautiful little girl who smiled, danced, sang, and cooked the dosa. No more little girl who, when I would say, "Thank you, Ilaikia," would answer, "No, thank you. We're friends." It was summertime. The kids were playing in an open water tank. Ilaikia jumped in, and her head hit a pipe in the water. She lost her consciousness and drowned. We were missing her a lot. We are missing her a lot. Ilaikia's death changed Osher, Banu, Saraswati, Sudha, and Sangeeta. Some innocence was gone forever. On the other hand, a strong bond between these six little girls was created. Each one of them will carry a piece from this childhood for the rest of their lives. More about Ilaikia. After writing the story about Ilaikia, I realized that I wanted to give a sari to Ilaikia's mother for the Tamil New Year. I went to Coot Road, the nearby town, with the kids and bought a new sari. On the way back, we stopped at Ilaikia's house. They have a small paka house now. Paka means proper, strong. It means no more traditional natural house from mud and coconut leaves, but a house built from bricks and cement. The dream of every family in the village. The mother came immediately. She was surprised and very happy. She was alone in the house. She went to the other room, brought a plastic chair, and made me sit on it as an honored guest. After a minute, she brought a bunch of recently picked peanuts, still covered with mud, and offered them to us. I stood up and handed her the new sari. She was smiling, moving her head from right to left, saying thank you. I was smiling, doing the same with my head. I returned to the chair and continued feeding the children the peanuts. My eyes were traveling around the small room. I saw a picture on the wall above one of the doors. Her face was covered with flowers. I showed the kids the picture of Alaikia and told them the story about her death. Suddenly, the mother disappeared again to the other room. After a few seconds, she came back holding in her two hands a picture of Alaikia that we had given to her after the incident. We had framed a picture of Alaikia and wrote some words in her memory in Tamil. The mother showed me the picture and started crying. I stayed frozen in my chair and started crying as well. I held the picture in my hands. I couldn't remove my eyes from Alaikia. She was so beautiful. We took this picture in Sadhana on one of her many visits in the summer holiday, the same year she passed away, just before we left for our visit to Israel. Noam, the big, sensitive, beautiful boy, got up and hugged Alaikia's mother. He hugged her like he was her own son. Amitai and Shalev were a bit uncomfortable and asked to leave. Finally, I got up from the chair with the picture in my hand and hugged Alaikia's mother. We were crying together for a while, until we felt peace in our heart, looking at her eyes. I said, Vanakam, the greeting word in Tamil, stepped out of the house, jumped on the bike, and drove back to Sadhana Forest. A visit from Israel. 2 months before my due date, my mother came to visit me in India. I was so pregnant. My big belly was protruding before me, and to satisfy my cravings, I gave my mother a list of my favorite foods from Israel to bring over. Osher was so happy. Grandma would come for a visit. Osher loved her grandma visiting her in India. I asked Arumugam, our best friend and the taxi driver who gives his services to Sadhana Forest, to bring my mother from the airport. Osher and I prepared a nice board in Hebrew. It said, Welcome, Grandma.
Brucha abba.
In Hebrew, Grandma is Savta. Savta was so happy to be back in India. Savta loves everything about India, especially the people, the streets, the trains, the ashrams and the food, and of course Sadhana Forest. She's in love with Sadhana Forest. She even dreams about one day moving to Sadhana Forest in India for part of the year. Going back to food, whatever we ate in the restaurants, she ate as well, and then asked for the recipes. Wow, I must make it for your papa at home. Give me the recipe, please. We decided to go on a small trip to Ananda Ashram in Kerala. Aviram and I had wanted to go there for maybe 6 years, ever since we landed in India. We felt it was the ideal place for us, because Osher in Sanskrit means Ananda, or bliss in English. Finally, it was going to happen. We started our journey on the train. It was the first train journey for my mother in India. She was so excited. We wanted the real experience, so we bought second-class sleeper tickets. The journey was a lot of fun. It was lovely to spend some time together, and not in anybody's house. There was a nice harmony most of the time, except for maybe one small clash between Aviram and my mother. You must have a little bit of action, no? Especially between a son and a mother-in-law. In Ananda Ashram, we were singing all day. It was a very unique experience for all of us. Looking at Osher walking around and around all day long with Safta, singing Om Shri Ram was quite a scene. If my father would have seen it, he would have been sure we'd all gone crazy. One afternoon, between singing and more singing, we played a pantomime game. Everyone at their turn acted in pantomime, and the rest needed to guess what the other person was doing. It was Aviram's turn. He sat on the bed opposite to us and started making funny noises. We all looked at each other, asking ourselves, what is he doing? He continued. More moans and shouting, more strange faces. And after some time, we got it, my mother and I, but Osher not yet. We let him continue. Osher was shocked. She was staring at him, asking herself, what happened to her dad? Being with Aviram already for 15 years, at that moment I understood him very well. Aviram wanted to prepare Osher for the home delivery that was about to come. She was going to be part of the whole scene. It was better for her to have an idea of how deliveries usually look, what was going to happen more. Finally, I shouted, you're having a baby! Aviram answered with a shout, like he just had the baby. Yes! We were all laughing. Osher was confused. Is it really like this? Yes, it is. We all answered seriously together. The ashram trip was wonderful. But like every good thing, it ended, and it was time to go home. After a few days, my mother went back to Israel. We were crying as we said goodbye. After 2 months, the baby came with a surprise. 2 weeks early. I guess we were all prepared and ready to receive her. Water. We'd just finished building the big dam inside the forest. We were very lucky. Just one day before the rain came, we completed the work. Everybody was so proud. The dam looked strong and sturdy. The biggest dam we had built so far in Sadna Forest. I was so proud of this dam because I was the one who spotted this location in the forest. One afternoon, we were walking alone in the forest, Aviram and I. It was so lovely to walk between the small trees, trying to imagine the big forest that would grow in 30 years. While walking around, I noticed that there was a space to build a dam between two little tiny hills in the forest. This will be a great spot for a dam. Yes, Aviram said, thinking it was a brilliant idea. I was very satisfied with myself for observing this potential. Usually it's Aviram observing such thing. We asked Balu to organize the JCB, a bulldozer, and it came true. A few days in the hot sun, moving earth from here to there. Osher at 5 years old, sitting with the JCB driver Balu, giving instructions to go right, to go left. Our new dam was done. Nice work. The dam looked great. It was a nicely built dam. After a day, the rains came. Just on time. The mud pool we had created started to fill up. More rain came. And more rain came. And more rain came. We were observing the rain filling up the pool slowly. It was a big pool, but apparently it filled very quickly. The amount of rain was unpredictable, and it was a lot. We didn't expect so much water in such a short time. We knew that we would have to follow the rain and do some studies on our new dam to learn how it behaves and how we should go forward, but this was running too fast. The rain didn't stop, and the pool was too full. We started to be stressed about it. The day passed by, and the rain was knocking on the door. Let me in. Aviram understood that we must do something fast. He called all the volunteers to come and help to dig another overflow. Otherwise, we were afraid that the water would break the dam and Sadna Forest would be flooded. Everyone with a pickaxe in their hands was running in the rain to dig and open an overflow. They were all digging so strongly, digging and digging without taking a break for a moment, working against time. It was a long way to run. The volunteers were working so hard that the salty water of their sweat was mixed with the fresh, sweet water of the raindrops. The sun went down. It was dark already. One more effort. We will do it. We encouraged each other to keep on digging. People were very tired, but full of intentions to open the overflow. I could hear the sound of the pickaxe hitting the soil. One, two, three. One, two, three. We were dancing the rain waltz. Until We did it. We opened the overflow. Water was gushing through the newly dug trench, and the level of the water in the dam started going down. The risk was gone. A big sigh of relief was heard, a scream of joy and happiness. It was an important lesson that night. Mother Earth was directing us, showing us the way. We had learned a lesson, to obey and to surrender to the voice of nature. The baby is coming. It was 3 weeks before the baby was supposed to come. There was a nice lady in the community. She'd come from Australia the week before. I came to know she was a midwife. As with every midwife, she was attracted to my big belly. We became friends and shared many things about babies, deliveries, motherhood. It was really nice. After a few days, she approached me and offered to make me an ancient American Indian ceremony in the next few days. Before the expected baby was supposed to come, a blessing for the mother and the family that is going to receive a new baby. I was very touched and accepted this offering. Our role was only to set up a time and to follow, so we did. She organized all the rest. The day of the ceremony arrived. I knew nothing about how it was going to be. It was all a surprise for us. We had dinner in the main hut, which was just a piece of shade net held by a few posts. And immediately afterward, she called everyone to follow her. I was the first to be led by her, and following me were Aviram and Osher. We started walking towards the entrance, being led by a candlelight path. Behind us was a big snake made of human beings, maybe 70 people, making their way quietly in the dark forest. We went along the road towards the front of the mud pool. When we arrived, there was a fire waiting for us in a comfortable place for me to sit with my huge belly. The rest of the group made a big circle around the fire, and everybody sat quietly. The midwife greeted us all and explained how this evening was going to be performed and what the meaning of the ceremony was. We started the circle with each one of us introducing him or herself, and the names of all the mothers she or he can recall in her or his family. As many generations back as one could remember. The idea was to connect ourselves with the Universal Mother, the mother who gave birth to all of us. Then we got a kettle to pass among us. Except for me. The group had to pour very hot water in the palms of their hands, with the intention of sharing the delivery pain that's supposed to be there during delivery. Each one who was taking a bit of the pain would make it easier for the mother. After a while, she asked Osher to comb my hair and Aviram to massage my feet, as a symbol of their dedication and commitment during delivery time. I enjoyed every moment of that evening. It was magic. I felt so special. There was so much love towards me, the baby, and my family. I got a gift, a mobile made out of branches. On the mobile, many little things were hung that each person made by himself. It was the most beautiful gift I'd ever received. It hung in the main hut for many years until slowly it decayed completely. In the last part of the ceremony, everybody was called to come closer and make a tight circle around us. Aviram, Osher, and I were sitting in the middle of this small, warm circle, feeling very peaceful. We closed our eyes, and many hands were touching us all over and whispering in our ears beautiful words. It sounded like one big Om, wishing us blessings, sending us energy of love and light. It lasted for some long minutes. We all felt so blessed with the divine presence and the power of the community. Again, doors. It is an issue now. We have a teenager who wants to go to her room and shut the door. How can we do that? We need to be creative now, to find a solution. She wants her space, without her annoying parents, without her annoying sister, She's dreaming about rooms with doors, shutting doors one after another. We live in a hut, beautifully open to nature. No walls, no doors. The life in the hut used to be flowing like the wind that went through. I remember the first night sleeping in our hut. I thought I was in a dream. I was so excited and in love with the space we'd created. I felt like a princess in a forest palace. Throughout the years, our hut got different shapes according to the growing needs. After one or two summers, we realized that the space downstairs was too hot. So we moved to sleep in the loft. We enjoyed more wind. Then we realized that the volunteer community was growing, and we needed another space just for being apart from the main hut that served everybody. So we extended the balcony. Then Ocean needed her own playroom. Her playroom was in the main hut, and she was always sharing everything with everyone. This was her first request for privacy. Then I was pregnant. I needed a toilet and a shower in my hut. Until then, we had to run quite far to the toilets. Then Shaleb was born. We had to extend our family bed. Then Osher grew up and was asking for her own space. Now she was asking for a door. Our family is growing with the trees, and our needs keep changing. Osher hasn't gotten her door yet. I think the next step, whenever she's ready, would be a small separate hut just for her, not far from our hut. Hopefully, we'll continue to observe the forest growing with our life within it, and to be creative in finding solutions. I was thinking more about the meaning of security, and this is what came to my mind. Security is the ability to feel the joy of life, to see the beauty in every moment, in all moments, especially the difficult ones, to embrace life as it is. Nice afternoon. Nice afternoon. I'm washing some dishes, listening to one of my favorite singers, Mati Kaspi. He sings in Hebrew, my native language, a song called On the Hot Summer Nights. It sounds like this.
אולי קרצר נשמע הרחק, אך אפילו השעון לא מתקתק. בלילות הקיץ החמים, שום דבר אינו קורה.
This translates to, under the strawberry tree in the village, we sit and talk. We read a book with an old smell. We close our eyes in silence. Nothing else happens in these hot summer nights. Under the strawberry tree in the village, we sit and talk. As I'm listening to the words of the song, I understand some facts about life and nature. I'd like to share them with you. We live in cycles. Moon cycles, woman cycles, life cycles, season cycles, autumn, winter, spring, summer. Every time of the year has a different energy. We're different in our energy in the different seasons. Today I realized, what is the role of every season? Autumn and spring are the production seasons. The weather is the best to be active and think properly, to sweat and to work. Cold winter and hot summer are the slow seasons. Slow seasons are the time to stop, to sit next to the fire, to sit and talk under the tree, to do nothing, to regenerate our body and soul, to tune into nature, just to be. We, the sophisticated human beings, manipulated nature for our benefit. Now it's not cold anymore in the winter, because we're heating our bums. Now it's not hot in the summer, because we're cooling our brains. We made a perfect world that we can live in and function without stopping. Non-stop. A few days of vacation, flying around the world, shopping, running from here to there, exhausting our souls. If we would let ourselves go through a cold winter or a hot summer and stop as nature requires us, we'd have the chance to regenerate our bodies, minds, and souls, like any other living being in nature. Looking forward to the hot summer, which is coming soon. Surprise. Night out. We don't have a community dinner tonight. The main hut is quite empty. Shalev, Noam, and Amitai are swinging on the saris very wildly. They had chocolate dessert tonight. They're laughing, shouting, giggling, having lots of fun. Yasmin and I are sitting in the other corner of the nice empty hut, enjoying watching the kids playing. Suddenly, a little man with a big torch comes in. We ask, "What are you doing here, Ishai?" Ishai answers in his super serious voice, "I put Papa to sleep. I took the torch and came to play." I don't know how many four-year-olds that will take a torch in a dark night full of scorpions and snakes and easily make their way in the forest. I know many adults who would never do it. Aviram had a dream. Silence. We're all deep asleep in our big, gigantic bed, protected under the big, romantic mosquito net. The moon was peeping through the opening of the roof. The rats were playing around, and the owls were calling to each other softly. Suddenly, Aviram woke me up. He's very excited. "I had a dream." "Yeah?" I opened half an eye, trying to smile. "I must tell you my dream, so I will not forget it." "Okay," I yawned and tried to open my second eye. "I'm listening." "I was learning how to fly an airplane at the flight school in Pondicherry." My eyes became bigger and I changed my lying down position to a sitting position. "Yeah, I'm listening." A teacher came, dressed in full pilot's gear and a helmet covered his head. We entered a small airplane. I was sitting beside the teacher and we went on a flight. He explained to me what he was doing. The next day, the teacher came again, dressed in his pilot gear, with the helmet covering his head, and asked me to fly the plane alone while he was sitting beside me. And off we went, flying in the air. The third day, the same story. I came to the class. The teacher appeared with his pilot gear and a helmet on his head, but this time, he asked me to fly alone. I felt so scared. I tried to resist. "No, I can't do it. It's too early." But no success. I couldn't change his decision. I started the engine and off to the sky. I flew and flew up high, looked around me, and there was only sky. Suddenly, I didn't know where he was. I couldn't see Pondicherry or anything familiar. I was confused. I didn't know where to land, and the fuel was running out. I was confused and stressed. I tried to concentrate. It was long moments of fear that lasted for, it felt like a lifetime. I decided just to go through the low clouds and land on whatever was there. I lowered the plane, and once I was out of the clouds, I was perfectly positioned above the runway. Wow! I took a deep breath and landed safely. I stepped out of the airplane, feeling completely overwhelmed. The teacher approached me slowly, stood in front of me, and said, "You see? I told you. Don't be afraid. You know how to fly." Then the teacher took off his helmet, and I could see it was Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo was one of the greatest philosophers, poets, and spiritual leaders in India. That's it for now. I'd never imagined that I could write a book. Not to mention in English. Not even in my biggest dream. But one day my friend Kartik had some idea for a project. He asked me to write for him about life in Sadhana Forest. This is how I found out that I can share some stories through writing. and I found out that people were really getting the picture of life in Sadna Forest. And you know what? I found out that I even enjoy it. Getting up early morning, listening to the birds' conversation, my dearest friends, opening my little phone and letting my fingers run over the little letters, writing took me again to these moments of magic. To feel the excitement of the first day on the land, when it's completely empty and barren, not a single sound of my little friends, the birds. There were no birds in Sadna Forest. A few years ago, a young volunteer made a bird survey. She could find something like 53 different species. Wow. Those magic moments. When the first volunteer came, one lady who was helping us to build a children's play slide went out into the streets to collect people to come join us. A beautiful, strong young man came and offered his help. Can I stay here with you? Wow, but we're not ready. Where will you sleep? Here on top of the tool shed. I can climb and make a bed. He was the first. Eyal. Today we're hosting over 1,000 volunteers a year. The power of the volunteer community made Sadna Forest grow so beautiful and powerful. Every volunteer became part of the family. After the big cyclone, this family helped us to recover and rebuild Sadna Forest. It's a good time to say again, thank you, Sadna Forest family. Those magic moments of watching our children growing between the little trees. Today, my kids are still growing, running on their way through the thick forest, picking some fruits from the trees and sitting under their shade. Those magic moments of sharing magic moments with beautiful people who every day are playing a bigger role in helping Sadna Forest to make the world a better place. I enjoyed every moment in this journey, the moments that I laughed, the moments that I cried, and the moments that opened my heart. Om Shanti.
Many thanks. I would like to thank many people who took part and supported me all these years, helping me in sharing my stories and making this little book. Thank you, my mother Esther and father Amos, for raising me the way I am. Thank you, my grandfather Moshe and my grandmother Hannah, for exposing me to and teaching me the love of nature. Thank you, my sisters Ila and Hadar and my brother Elior, for being who you are and for accepting me the way I am. Thank you, my artistic aunt Ilana, for inspiring me to hold the pen and create my drawings. Thank you, all my teachers. Thank you, Kartik, for inspiring me to write. Thank you, Aviram Rosin, Barbara Linde, Lark Natalia Rodman, Harsh Valeche, Mike Roy, Diana Evenrod, and Marlenka Gray for editing my little book. Thank you, Galit Yardeni, for putting it all together and for creating this beautiful, wonderful design. Thank you, Miriam from Orville Radio, to letting us recording the story and editing the storyline. Thank you, Jamie Ellis, for being my voice, telling my story. By the way, you have an amazing voice. Thank you, Mithun David Chakrabarti, for creating with me this amazing, amazing audiobook. I love it. Thank you, Vedant, from Sama Recording Studio. You have been our first audience and helped us a lot to do the final tune. Your studio is wonderful. Thank you, all the people who have been part of my life and became the stories. Thank you for all the beauty that exists all around me. Thank you.